ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. We're glad to have you along for the next hour. We get into all kinds of different things. We'll put a nice little tight bow on the Masters and look ahead to some different things in the world of golf. To obviously the PGA coming up in Tulsa at the end of next month. And some different guys and what we think might be in store for them over the short term and the long term. NBA talk. We didn't get to any of that yesterday. With the NBA regular season wrapping up, the Thunder finished fourth from the bottom. What does that mean for their odds in the lottery? Did any of the guys, and I'm thinking of one guy in particular, did anyone distinguish themselves as a piece moving forward or eliminate themselves as a piece moving forward with the way they played this year? I think there was one guy that this was an important year for, and I'm not sure if he did either. Is the tanking over for OKC? We'll see. Is the super team era over? Couple of experiments went really sour this year as far as super teams go. So is this a sign that maybe that's done? And then who do you like in the playoffs? The play-in games start tonight with that tournament. So we'll hit a little bit of NBA. We have some high school baseball, high school golf from yesterday that we can discuss. And also give a big thank you to our city manager. He gave us a little prize, Jared, that I haven't showed you yet. So we'll talk about that here in just 1 second. It's Tuesday, which means that's a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. We'll be telling you all about Rodney Skinner and the gang down at Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street here in Elk City. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. Give them a call at 580-225-2121. It's the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. They have free local delivery. They also drive through pickup. And a whole bunch more that we'll be telling you about throughout the day.
I keep forgetting they have a location at the museum. Am I wrong? I see it at the museum complex. It says Paul Jones.
I couldn't tell.
You can go and get your prescription filled there.
Don't think that's happening, but I do know what you're talking about now. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. Over my head.
Weak attempt at a dad joke.
You went way over my head. Because just for a second, I thought, no way.
It's like, did we forget about a second?
Holy cow. How cool is that? 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We'll talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be in your mind, feel free to chime in. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other is download the Paragon app. The app has everything. It's got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. It's got the Big Elk TV. It's got the Paragon TV. All of that stuff is there at your fingertips inside that free Paragon Communications app. Also, Skinny on Sports podcast is available to you on KADSAM.com or iTunes. If you missed the show entirely and want to go back and hear what we had to say about something, go ahead. Either one of those spots. If you go to iTunes, you might as well hit a little subscribe button, and then you're alerted each and every day when the podcast drops. Good morning, Jared.
How are you? Ready for today? What do you got there?
I'm wonderful.
This is a little... you're bringing out a baseball bat.
I do. Baseball bat that was a gift from Tom. He brought it up too. He said, I had this and I thought about you. It's an old Adirondack wooden baseball bat. It's the Gil Hodges model. It's the player that has it signed here.
Wow.
And we thank Tom for bringing that up here for us. It'll look good alongside all the other pretty cool sports memorabilia. We kind of needed something like that.
Let me see that. We're going to have to find a way to display that.
Yeah, I know. That's what I just kind of had it.
That's cool.
Here in the back. But, yeah, really, really cool.
Man, I thought you brought out the baseball bad. I thought, man, do I owe Skinny money or something?
Well, I mean, that can
break my kneecaps with this thing.
It can serve as two things. One, kind of something cool to look at. And number two, it can serve as, if you don't pay up your burrito bet, bam. It'll be, a motivational tactic to get the burritos out of you.
Very cool. That is neat. I love wooden bets. Like, this is now, how old do you think this thing is?
Gosh, Gil Hodges is back in the day.
Yeah. That is cool.
It's very cool. Here. Yeah, we'll have to figure out how to display it so we can,
That is neat. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Tom. If we ever get to where we're on camera, some of that stuff will need to be seen better.
Yeah. Anyways.
What did you do last night?
We had practice, and man, what a beautiful night it was to have softball practice, and that was it. I mean, when I do that, I disconnect, and I kind of space out too. And it wasn't until you text me last night, said, man, what happened? You know, the Clinton and Elk City baseball game, and then I checked the score, and I realized, oh my goodness, they played. Then I checked the score, and oh my goodness. Like, what happened there? There has to be a story there. What's the score?
26-2.
26-2.
It was weird because it was 3-1 when I left the station, and I was going into town, you know, passing right by Ackley Park, and I glanced over at the scoreboard. It was 3-1 going into the third inning. And then Clinton scored a run to make it 3-2, and then the next thing you know, the Elks put up 23 in the bottom of the third and the bottom of the fourth. And then obviously at 26-2, it's a five-inning game. And so that was a battle for the first place in District 4A4 right now. Now, they'll turn around and play again today at Clinton, which the score may look like exactly what it's going to be, wind blowing out, 50 from the south. It may be a rough go of it for the pitchers from each side. But for the report I got was – it was one of those days, man. Every time, everything that Clinton threw up there, Elk City just pounded.
Sometimes that's how it is. Everyone's dialed in, and it's all clicking. You just hope that would, if you're a big Elk fan, that would continue to towards a possible district title and into playoffs.
Yeah, or even just for today, save 23 of those runs, win 3-2, and then start out 23-0 today. I know that's not possible, but anyhow. So the Elks improved to 15-7 overall, 7-0 in District 4A4. Clinton's right behind them, 13-5 and 6-1. So even though that game was so lopsided yesterday in Elk City's favor, today's game is just as important because, Clinton wins 1-0, then they're back to tied and all of that. So
I was wondering, really is there a tiebreaker, like runs scored, runs allowed?
I'm sure there is.
So I wondered, you hate to think that there, and I'm not insinuating that Elk City was classless and ran up the score for that purpose, but because I think it was just a matter of it was working for one team and it wasn't working for another. And the glorious thing about baseball is quick turnaround, all of a sudden it could be a different result.
That's exactly right.
But I just wondered if there was some kind of a tiebreaker in that scenario.
I bet you there's like maybe a 10. Mm-hmm. The max you can get, a little bit like football, in the district points or whatever, where they'll give you 15. I'm sure that there's something like that. Hopefully we can find out the answer to that here momentarily. But, just a great – well, here we go. I knew somebody listening would know the answer to this question. Yeah, 10.
Okay.
District points.
I knew it was very this district format, I like it in baseball in this class,
It's,
I like it.
It's interesting because, Wyatt'll ask me, like last night, who won? And I told him who won, what the score. He's like, well, what's Elk City ranked? Like, well, buddy, there really isn't rankings.
Yeah, someone asked me that a while
back.
Because
they have districts.
Right.
The reason why there's rankings in 2A down is because they don't play a district schedule like this because they have a district tournament, which they use the rankings off of. To kind of seed and make brackets, a la what we're used to in the basketball tournament.
If you think about it, in football, there is no official OSSAA rankings in football. It's, they have the district set up, but then the rankings you get, there's an AP poll that's put out there. There's the Oklahoman poll, and there's usually just a consensus top 10 of who is where. And, it's almost for just bragging purposes, but they're usually pretty right. Usually the top teams are the ones that come out on top. But so someone asked me that too. Like, well, what is this team ranked in 4A? I said, well, there's no rankings, and it's not like small school. There's a district set up just like football, and there's no official or unofficial, I guess, ranking system out there by a AP or any kind of media source. You just have to kind of look at the district standings and kind of have your own opinion, like who's leading the district. Like right now, Elk City leading the 4A 4. And they're playing like one of the better teams in 4A.
Yeah,
now, thank goodness Heritage Hall's dropped to 3A, and you got Tuttle. You're going to always keep an eye on. They're probably
Blanchard.
Those schools are probably going to be considered if there was a ranking, 1 and 2, 2 and 1, whatever. But Elk City right now, man, you hope they can hit the ball like that. Going to playoffs, it puts them in a great spot. And this right here puts them in a great spot to not travel very far for playoffs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. When you look at the District 4A4, the 3 I-40 schools are right there, 1, 2, and 3, Elk City, Clinton, and Weatherford.
As it should be.
Yeah. It's,
sorry, but it's fun when all three are really good.
That's right. And and then there's kind of some games that you have to win. I mean, there's some teams at the bottom of the district that you have to sweep, and about everybody does. You know, Kingfisher's a team that's kind of in the middle of that. The Elks were able to sweep them already. Weatherford beat them 8-1 yesterday, so, and then Clinton's coming up next week against Kingfisher. So that's one of those teams where, you know, maybe you can slip up and lose one, and that can be the difference in winning the district and not with the Elks, and then Weatherford winning yesterday, chance to sweep them today. That puts the ball in Clinton's court. But, today is a huge game for both sides because with, you know, outside of maybe, I guess, Weatherford being able to sweep the Elks, then Elk City's in a real driver's seat moving forward with still that two-game series left against Weatherford that'll kind of decide things. I know they play Western Heights this week as well in a doubleheader. To try, you know, those are games you can't lose. Western Heights hadn't won a game yet. But, you know, today and then obviously the Elk City Weatherford series, Clinton Weatherford, They've already played.
Clinton took care of both those games.
Okay, so Clinton swept Weatherford. Yeah, so that's a, you know, this is a great opportunity. As you mentioned, the carrot at the end of the line here is hosting a regional.
Absolutely it is. And it definitely helps when you have a good baseball team with the fantastic facilities like Elk City has invested in over here. And I'm not knocking any other facilities. I mean, we mentioned the top three teams in the district right here on I-40 in Western Oklahoma. All three have great facilities. But it definitely helps when you have that. Kind of like when I was talking about OU baseball yesterday. You know what I mean?
I've got a bunch of shenanigans going on my phone right now. People are trying to make me upset.
Give me the baseball bat. Give me the bat.
People are trying to make me upset.
Give me the bat.
A bunch of blasphemy going on in my text messages.
Give me the bat.
Just ridiculous. Ridiculousness.
I would ask that people stop texting Aaron. I'm in a small room with him holding a baseball bat.
Anyway. So that's today. The return game over in Clinton. That's going to go a long way with Clinton already sweeping Weatherford. If they can get the split against Elk City, then, you know, all of a sudden they become kind of Eagles fans, hoping that Weatherford can trip up the Elks one time, and then that gives Clinton the district title. So even though it was a dominant performance yesterday, obviously, by the Elks, things aren't even close to settled in 4A4. One note about that, Cash Mayfield was on the hill for the Elks, sophomore, committed to OSU already. He struck out 12 in 5 innings, but gave up 3 hits. That's the most he's given up in any outing so far this season.
Even at that score, that doesn't shock me because Clinton, they have been putting up some runs. I mentioned that to you yesterday off air. The Weatherford series, they put up 16 and 12 runs. They took down a top 10 leady team 13-5. They beat Arapahoe Butler 19-5. I know it's kind of smaller school, but sometimes that doesn't matter. They were playing Canute pretty tough before it got rained out. They can swing the bat. It's just that's why that lopsided score was so shocking to me, but they are only able to muster a couple of runs.
It may show you one thing, and that's that the Elks have something nobody else does, and that is a true number one ace.
Oh, he's special
in Cash. You know, because you're right. You look at the scores, and a lot of times they're pretty. I mean, it's kind of with the good teams in the district. Let's say like that. You kind of see some slugfest going on a lot of times with a bunch of runs being scored, and then all of a sudden on a Monday you look up in each of those games, the Oaks are giving up one, none, two. It's a huge advantage Oak City has in a two game series with the way that he's thrown it. And man, I hated to miss that. I was wanting to be over there yesterday so bad. I had some other obligations I had to attend to, but yeah, I'm sure it was a fun atmosphere at Ackley Park yesterday. As that game went Elk City's way. Also, a huge game over between Canute and Fort Cobb-Broxton. And speaking of bashing the baseball, Canute continues to just roll right now as they won, 11-6 was the final. I know Cason LeGrand hit two home runs for the Canute Trojans yesterday. And, man, Canute, it feels kind of like it did a couple years ago, where as they start beating these teams, that, you know, they're not going to be playing Fort Cobb this year because Fort Cobb's in Class B. But you know, start beating these really good teams, these really good small school teams, you kind of start to get the feeling of, okay, here we go again. Coach Gillette and the boys are looking like they're going to have a really good chance to take home another state title.
Yeah, that might, you know, I hate always questioning, but, you know, pitching, and you could ask the dads. Because that was the first thing as soon as basketball's over, talking to a couple dads, and that's both of them said, pitching. They got great pitchers. Colby Maddox is a state championship pitcher. Colt Randall, he's a starter. Drew Steffes, I know, can get on the bump. Big guy who can throw it. I'm sure I'm missing some kids. I think that's shored itself up a little bit, the pitching. The hitting's always going to be there, clearly. They can swing the bat and put up a lot of runs, and sometimes that trumps a lack of true rotation in pitching. Is if you could start the game scoring a couple runs, you're suddenly putting the pressure on the other team to play catch up, and then when 1-2-3 happens, and then you put Canute back up at the plate, and they're scoring a couple more, all of a sudden it's a snowball effect, and they're winning games like that, 11-6. So they're okay giving up six runs because they're always going to outscore you. That's a big win for them. Gives them a lot of confidence. Got one more tournament left this weekend. And then district pairings have been announced. I believe they host Burns Flat. And probably a regional too, which I'd suspect would be, looking at the rankings. Well, I wouldn't be shocked to see Arapahoe Butler come this way. Something like that. But another good season for Coach Gillette. He just got something going pretty good there.
Yeah, what's interesting about when you look at the baseball rankings, they rank everybody.
I just don't notice that
today.
Is that something new? Because usually they would go down to 20 and stop. Is that because of the playoffs?
It has to be.
So that's interesting. All right,
68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76.
What are you doing?
90, 91, 92, 93. There's 94 teams in Class A. Unless there's ties above. Oh, there is. Darn it.
There are ties.
Yeah, but it takes care of itself because it gets it all the way down. The ties start at 68, so that's with 94 teams. That's a ton. Golly, that's a ton. When you look at not near that many in 2A. And then Class B, yeah, there's a bunch of them too, but probably not quite as many. But, yeah, that's Canute. They've done the work throughout the season to be able to be in position. They're definitely going to host a regional. And then, you know, from there, the one thing that I would say where those dads you're talking about are right, because think about
– Don't say that because then you give them the confidence.
Yeah, I know. probably knowing some of them. That's a bad choice of words. Anyway, no, but seriously, though, it's all well and good to bash the baseball throughout the year. But think about that state title run.
You got
to
have three.
It was pitching. What'd they score?
In the
five
fall.
What'd they score? Five runs in three games that year?
Yeah, it was pitching that helped.
It was pitching that was able to get them over the hump. And that's where they, you know, that's where those guys, they had such an advantage that year to be able to throw three guys in a row. It's one thing to have Kellen, but it's another to have, you know, Keenan and everybody else.
Yeah. So, but with that being said, that state tournament run in the fall was special because of the pitching, and you know they did what they had to do. All those kids, the majority of those kids Yeah, I mentioned Colby. I mentioned Colt, Drew Steffes. Their bats have gotten better. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And they're still there. And that's why we're seeing these runs, that the production just improve. So that's kind of exciting, too, when you get into the, you know, these playoffs. And then that three-game stretch in the state tournament, if they're fortunate enough to get that far, you know, can they go up against these better teams like a Red Oak, or, you know, Dewar tripped them up last year in the first round. Rattan, I'm just looking at the rankings here. You expect to see those teams there. You know, can they bash the ball like they did? Like they have been doing all year. And that's why it was encouraging to see them put up 11 runs on Fort Cobb.
Right.
Despite giving up six, but to score 11 runs against a top team out of Class B, a perennial top team, that's encouraging. You know, that I'm sure that had a state tournament feel to it, that game. Sure it did.
I'm sure it did, too. Also, from the high school ranks yesterday right here at Elk City, the Big Elk golf team was able to take home the trophy at their home golf tournament. Out of 67 guys that played yesterday, only four guys broke 80. So it was windy and that kind of thing. But the Elks had two of those four, with Mason Schmidt taking home the medalist title with a 269. Nathan Womack one shot behind him at 70. The Elks had the only two that broke par, with Mason and Nathan. They ended up shooting a team score of 315. That was about 30 ahead of second place Woodward. And then Weatherford was third place, I believe, as a team there. So, you know, going into the year, it felt like those two fellas, Nathan and Mason, were going to have to be the guys that kind of carried the team scores as everyone else got acclimated to playing competitive golf, which hasn't happened for, a lot of those guys that are either on the end of the varsity team or the JV team, young guys that are trying to figure out, you know, how to do it. And kudos to those guys, because they were, you know, right there on that team last year that had every chance to win a state title as a team, didn't quite get it done, but those boys are playing really good golf, and that's going to be something they're going to have to do in order for the team to be able to be at Bowling Springs at the state tournament coming up in May. Those guys are going to have to carry it, and so far so good. As yesterday, that's really encouraging sign, I think, for Sam, Coach Stevens, and the Big Elk golf team. To be able to watch those guys excel the way they did. Also, I know Elk City tennis was awesome yesterday as well. Boys and girls were able to win team titles. And that's been something that's happened a whole bunch that we haven't really talked much about. But the Elk City tennis teams, both teams, boys maybe even a little bit more than the girls, are right at the top. And they're going to have a chance to do some really special things once we get down the line into the state tournament for the Elk City tennis as well. So good stuff from all around the area. You know what?
Middle of April, man. We're about to hit a bunch of spring playoffs.
I feel sorry for anybody that has to be out there this afternoon battling that wind, no matter what game you're playing. Hey, it's Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. We'll tell you all about Paul Jones Drug when we come back. Also hit some NBA topics as well. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medication safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Paul Jones Drug Tuesday here on the show. Rodney Skinner down there, 809 North Main at Paul Jones Drug. Care you can trust. We've got free delivery in the Elk City area. Drive-through pickup. They'll do curbside testing, curbside vaccinations, long-term care unit packaging, which is blister packs. And then this is pretty interesting. Convenience packaging. You know what that is?
It sounds convenient, but I'm not totally sure.
Okay, so think about, and I just went through this last week down on our trip. You've seen like the plastic containers that have a day where you have to stuff your pills.
Yeah.
And fit them all into the day.
Well, yeah, usually your grandparents have them or had them.
So
now my dad.
This takes that away. Because what they are is into your daily meds,
mm-hmm,
are all packaged individually.
Oh, in a package. Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, so all you got to do is rip it off, take the pills, and boom, you're done. Throw it away.
Oh, very cool.
You don't have to keep
up with
it.
Very convenient.
It's very convenient.
As it's named. Awesome.
Yeah, you don't have to keep up with the container anymore. So that's all that stuff, and there's others we'll tell you about throughout the hour at Paul Jones Drug right here, 809 North Main in Elk City, Oklahoma. So I was asking Jared in the break. This picture popped up on Twitter, and it's got these two young guys holding trophies as junior golfers. And I asked him if he knew who they were, and he was like, no.
I'm looking at him trying to think, are they kids? These are famous golfers, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay.
Will Zalatoris.
Okay.
And Scotty Scheffler.
And Scheffler, yeah. A couple Texas kids.
Yeah, it turns out they've always won. from the very beginning of their golf career, so that's pretty cool. Hey, let's talk about the NBA. The Thunder ended up, I know while I was gone, a couple of frustrating wins with guys that you never heard of. I mean, the one game, I think, was it against Portland, where they won by four, and some guy named Jalen Horde had like 28 points and 24 rebounds or something crazy like that for Oklahoma City to win that game. I know we were all frustrated with the win against Phoenix, after Detroit had lost, or had won, I'm sorry, and then they beat Phoenix by a ton when Phoenix was actually playing their guys. The Thunder clearly said enough of that down the last two or three games, playing literally nobody I've ever heard. And even then, I think they won a game. But anyhow, they finished fourth worst, which was right where they were last year, I think, in the lottery odds. And so hopefully that doesn't occur again. But all in all, I think down the stretch, there's times where you're going, God, Lee, it could have been better. But also, I think probably pretty fortunate to not end up passing Indiana with the way they were winning some games at the end.
Yeah. You mean pass them in win total.
Wins. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think four still makes you a little uneasy, though, right? Come the night where they start pulling the balls out.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at every single one of the places, the highest individual pick odds are about the worst one you could imagine. So, like Houston. Houston's had the worst record again this year, and I got some things to say about that too. But their most likely scenario, most likely pick, is number five, which is as far as they can fall. Orlando was second, and their number five is also their most likely pick. It just individually pick. But here's the thing. The lottery is created for the top four. And then from there, it goes in order. So let's say the Thunder are fourth worst. If they get into that top four, then they'll just be replaced by somebody above them, and then it goes straight down the line from there. So like on it's May 17th, will be lottery night. And as you watch it, as it's going in order, you want it to go in order all the way till the Thunder's pick, because that means nobody jumped. You're guaranteed to be in that top four once you start seeing, like San Antonio or Washington that are down at 9 and 10, like those types of people jumping up into the top four. That's when you start getting nervous as a Thunder fan, when you get around that 8th, 7th, 6th pick. You don't want to see that logo come popping out of the envelope from there. But all in all, the Thunder end up with a 48.1% chance to be in that top four, which it seems like, at least right now, is where you want to be, because it feels like there's four guys available that are kind of above the rest, with the three bigs and also Jaden Ivey, right? I mean, that's kind of the way it feels like this draft is shaping up. Within that 48.1% chance, you have a 12.5% chance at the number one overall pick. And that doesn't seem great, but the three teams above you, I mean, what you lost by not being in the top three was, one, you can go further down. So the Thunder could go clear down to eight in the worst-case scenario. But you lost a 4% chance at the top four, and you lost a 1.5% chance at the number one overall pick. So not real significant, but I think that your floor of where you can fall becomes more significant almost to me than the actual 1% odds change, if that makes any sense.
Does the The next question is the tanking over, or is that question not answered until we know where the Thunder will be drafting? If they're outside of the top four, is there, you know what I mean? Is there a scenario where they go, you know what? We're not done yet. Or is it, you know what? Doesn't matter where we fall or land. We have to start winning again, because they released, I'm sure you've seen this, the attendance numbers, all that stuff. And what that equates to is loss revenue. And at the end of the day, this is a business. So the Thunder are in a small market. They can't afford, and I mean that in the quite literal sense, afford to tank again. So what do you think? Do you think the tanking's done?
I think it totally depends. And I don't even know if it depends on the lottery or as much as what the picks look like. And I don't, I mean, if they end up with one of the top four, I think you go into the year not planning on it. You know, because they still got, they'll end up with like the 15th pick and the 30th. So there's three first rounders coming in this draft.
Right.
And so, I mean, if you can figure out, if they're lucky enough to be able to kind of get toward the top, then you have that Clippers pick, then you have the Phoenix pick. I think you make those picks in such a way with the players you're going to choose, planning on this being maybe not the 50-win year for the first time that the Thunder made the playoffs back in the first iteration of the Thunder. But I don't think you plan on it being a 22-win season again. I don't think that's – yeah, financially it's not good. And at some point, even though – I think a lot of the reason why the Thunder aren't able to get tanked all the way to the bottom of the standings is because of the culture that is built. Mm-hmm. But at some point, losing and not even really trying to win season after season, that's what's wrong with the Kings. That's why Sacramento's, they're like the longest in the league between playoff appearances right now. Their drought dates back to the early 2000s. And you don't want to get yourself into that type of a funk to where you can't get out. And now it feels like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a guy that you really kind of like leading your franchise with the stuff he says, with the way he acts on the court, off the court. He seems like exactly the type of quote-unquote Thunder guy that they're looking for. Now, the question is he good enough to be able to lead you back to, you know, the top of the West or contending to be one of those teams that are at the top of the Western Conference? I think that remains to be seen. I think some people would lean to no, some would lean to maybe. I mean, the way he finished the season was on a tear like almost unlike anybody else in the league. But can he sustain anything near that on teams that are good, when teams that are coming in to play you are trying to beat you and not just overlooking, oh, this is crappy Oklahoma City who's trying to lose this game? There's a difference in those numbers, and I think that remains to be seen. But in my mind, I think they want the tanking to be over, but we'll see if it is.
Yeah. You mentioned the picks in the first round. They got three of them, the 30th, the 15th, and then the undecided up top. Do they use them all, the lower ones? Do they use them? Or does it depend again on
it may depend,
you know,
on
if
they
want to get up higher? If they're not sad, you know, if they get to the sixth spot or seventh or whatever, like, you know what, we need to get in that top four. Let's create a package deal here.
Yeah, it just doesn't. It's hard to do that when everybody, if everybody like right now, everything's a four person draft. Well, it's hard to get into that top four with the ammunition you got. Now, nobody's ever had as much draft ammunition as Oklahoma City. There's no doubt about that. With all the picks they've got and that treasure trove of stuff from now till, you know, 4 years from now. I think you've got a lot of options. And about the time you think you've got Sam Presti figured out and kind of rabbit-holed into something, he does something totally different. Interesting question. We talked about this just a little bit, and this will be a lot more of a topic as we move along. If the Thunder were to win the lottery and get number one, who are you taking?
Well, I want a big guy. I like SGA, and you mentioned him. I like his potential, let's get him somebody, you know, it's a matter of who you pair him with. And that could elevate his game. So I think that what that is a big guy. I used to be overly infatuated with Chet Holmgren, maybe because he reminded me of another tall, lanky kid that came here, and the rest is history. But I've leaned more towards either a Jabari Smith or Banchero. I know you like Jaden Ivey. Are you still on that?
I don't know that he's your number one pick because you have SGA.
Exactly. That's why I had nothing against Ivey, but I thought, that's not a need, like a position need.
Yeah, but I mean, as we get more toward positionless basketball, if he's the only guy left, you have to take
him. You have to take him, exactly.
Totally agree. If the top three are the bigs and you have number four, you have to take Jaden Ivey and then figure it out later. Because I'm not convinced that one of the guys that is seemingly a cornerstone right now is even going to be with this team past the trade deadline next year, and that's Dort. Because what are you going to have to pay Dort? Right now, you're paying him nothing. And so his streaky shooting and his 33% from three, you live with that all day long at $1.5 million because he plays all defensive team defense and can make some shots. That's great at a mil. When you start paying him 12 or 13, that needs to be closer to 38 or 40% from three to justify what you're paying him. Now, do you think he can? He's another young guy. Who knows? I mean, the problem with a lot of this stuff for OKC is also the great part about what they're doing is they have a bunch of young guys that have a ton of potential. Now, where does that ceiling get? But you got to choose that now in certain situations. Obviously, they love what they see from SGA, gave him a bunch of money, and everybody agreed with that move. I don't care what happens from now on, when it happened, everybody agreed. And I don't want to hear 3 years from now somebody talking about how, oh, no, I knew that was a bad. No, you didn't. Everybody loved that move. You know what I'm saying? Everybody loved giving him the money because of what he had already accomplished and what you could see as him growing as a player.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. One of the cornerstones of the franchise. Great. We got him in there. Now, and this is maybe partly what kind of derailed the Thunder's quest at a title the first time, is being a little bit more judicious with the spending around the guys that you know you got to pay. You know, if you could have got Perkins at $5 million instead of $8 million, does that get Shane Battier on your team instead of the Heat knocking down those threes? You know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
Or a Mike Miller was one of those guys that was floating around all those years. You know, and then you go from there to obviously Robertson. You know, that can be debated on paying him how much, whatever. I mean, the guy, it's impossible to know because he never even got a chance to finish what he was going to be because he got hurt. And so, you know, there's a lot of that, but that's what Pressey gets paid all that money for, is to know and have the foresight or the feel to be able to make the right choices at the right times. And, you know, the one that's always pointed out, obviously, is signing Ibaka and that letting Harden go, or that made force the trade. That's not necessarily true, because if Harden didn't want to do what he wanted to do, they had money to pay him. Near the max money to pay him. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be on his own, and so there he went. You know, I think it was the other deals, the Perkins one especially, when you look at the numbers in even that Heat series with Perkins on the floor and off, it was obvious what should happen. But when you have a financial interest in a guy like they did with Perkins and a lot of other things there too, it makes it harder to set him down. And not only that, and then it makes it harder to get somebody else in there money-wise that fills that void and fills that hole. And so those are going to be the things moving forward, I think, that are going to be really interesting, because we all want to, like, so let's say the Thunder get the sixth pick. We'll all immediately come in here the next day and go, all right, we can give the 6th, the 15, and the 30 to move up to 4. I don't think that's how those picks are going to be used. I think the Thunder are going to be able to have the ability to attach picks in moves for real players as opposed to draft picks. Does that make sense? As they need a Shane Battier, not only can they trade somebody off the team, but they can also attach a pick or two, and that's where those things are going to be really useful once they get the core drafted, in my mind. That's how that kind of looks. Which, and no one's ever been able to do what they're going to be able to do in that regard. Now, the problem is, as they get better, those picks become less valuable.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, without really knowing what the construction of the team is going to look like if you made a move like that now, teams would probably be more enticed to make a play, make a trade with you, because they look at your team and go, wait a minute, that could be a top whatever pick. You know, especially if you don't offer a bunch of protection on it. And that can, you know, there's so many ways for that to go as we move forward. But this lottery is a big thing to be able to get a guy that you know, even Giddey. Everybody was upset about getting the sixth pick and upset about drafting Giddey. And I think he's outperformed any expectation anybody had for him going into the year. But he's also not going to be – he's also not yet – a guy that leads you to the promised land. He's a darn good player to have, no doubt about that. But is he a franchise changer like some of these guys at the top of these drafts can be? I think that remains to be seen, and I think so far the answer would be no.
Yeah. But back to the original question, is the tanking done? I think it is. I'm fairly confident it is no matter what.
Probably so.
Because of just what you said. With Presti getting Giddey where he got him. And then, you know, and shame on anybody who questioned the pick, because Presti's hit more than missed on picks, especially up at the top, way up the top. So even if it is outside of the four, I'm inclined to say I'm going to trust what Sam does wherever he does it at with the picks, and it's time to move forward and time to – attempt to start winning.
Dakota's got an interesting point here about this. Have you seen the dude from France?
Yes.
The dude for next year.
Yeah.
And honestly, the problem with the NBA is you're not guaranteed. Like the NFL, if you're the worst team, you're guaranteed to get the number one pick. It's just the way the system is.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the Thunder could lose all 82 games next year, tank their tail off.
Yeah.
And still get the fifth pick.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
It's not a risk I want to take.
It especially when you've done it for 2 years. And the luster, I think you can get away with this as the franchise moved in here because everybody's so excited. Mm-hmm. Problem for the brass at the Thunder is they were so good so fast that all the Thunder fans know is riding high, baby.
Right.
I mean, griping about losing Hall of Famers and losing in the first round of the playoffs, that's all they know. And so how quick does that push them away? Because let's be honest, basketball isn't the number one thing in this state.
I 100% agree.
And so, you know, to be able to – but at the same time, to get everybody back, you got to have a team that's worth watching. So it's a fine line there. Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, if it was a guarantee – there might be teams that would win 8 games next year trying, if it was guaranteed worst record gets that guy. And that's also part of the luck of this thing is when you're in the dumps doing this stuff, who's there? Not only for you to take when it's your turn, but also just in the draft period. I mean, has there been, when's the last guaranteed going into the draft, somebody that was guaranteed, like, this dude is going to be a superstar. Brow, see the last one? I mean, I know people loved Luka Doncic, yeah. The one that had seen him.
Right.
But not everybody had seen him.
I think Davis.
Probably Anthony Davis, right?
Anthony Davis, and before that. LeBron.
You know, people thought Odin. You know, Durant.
Is the question who actually... who lived up to that expectation?
No, who was going into
the draft. Yeah. And, yeah, Odin was up there too. Everyone thought, this is a guy you cannot miss on.
Mm-hmm. And injuries derailed him completely.
Sure,
we'll never know. But, you know, those, it doesn't happen. What I'm saying is
Zion?
People thought Zion, for sure. for sure. That's the last one.
That's still. We don't have the answer to that one yet.
That it's for sure Zion. That we thought. Mm-hmm. Now that doesn't mean it is, but what we thought, everyone thought he was guaranteed to be a superstar. That's right. It's definitely Zion. And so far, that hasn't been the case for multitude of reasons. But, you know, that's even then there's luck involved. But, you know, if this was a year from – if this was next year's draft, you want to talk about – if you haven't seen Wimbanyama, the French dude. If you haven't seen him, I mean, you want to talk about anticipation for the lottery.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin was one.
Blake was one.
He was definitely one. Mm-hmm. That was pre-brow, though. So, you know, Anthony Davis and Zion, probably the last two. All right, we'll be back. Wrap up the show here on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medication safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients with their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery. It's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street, Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Paul Jones Drug Tuesday here on The Skinny on Sports. We told you about a bunch of the things they've got going on down there. Also, DME. You know what that is?
DME.
DME.
No.
Durable medical equipment, such as walkers, canes, crutches, wraps, braces, etc., those kind of things. And you know what? It's not just a drugstore. All kinds of cool gifts, greeting cards as well. Most insurance are accepted down at Paul Jones Drug. 809 North Main Street here in Elk City. Paul Jones Drug. Care you can trust. 580-225-2121 is the phone number down there to talk to Rodney and the gang at Paul Jones Drug. Interesting point on the text line from a Rampossum. He said Odin was like 70 when he got drafted, so how did you not know he's going to get hurt? It's a fair point. With his looks, it's a fair point.
Yeah. That's true.
So let's keep this, and then we don't have to talk about the Masters. Or we can talk about golf tomorrow as far as the PGA and that kind of thing and what we're looking forward to coming out of Augusta toward the PGA at Tulsa. Interesting to me that the two favorites, because they were the two super teams going into the year this year, both struggled, and both have actually been torn apart or are going to be torn apart. And that is the Lakers, and that is Brooklyn. Going into the year, the three older guys out in L.A., then you had Durant, Irving, and Harden in Brooklyn. That's already been torn apart there with the Harden trade. Obviously, it does. I mean, if LA can do anything to get Russell Westbrook off their books, they'll do it. You wonder about Anthony Davis as well because of his lack of health. Feels like he's guaranteed to miss 30 games a year, and you just hope it's not at the wrong time. Can this or will this maybe signal a little bit of an end to this super team era that started back with LeBron going to Miami?
I want to say yes, but I don't think we're there quite yet. There's still going to be the superstar that's yet to win a ring. They're going to team up. They're going to do it. I'm just not ready to go there yet. I just think they're okay. Like the Brooklyn situation. I mean, you had the whole Kyrie situation going on, and then I don't think that's determined to be a bust just yet. But, I mean, Harden's Harden.
Well, I mean, that Brooklyn was a bust, right?
Yeah.
But part of it was, like, what was the stat? I mean,
what defines
they played 16? They played 16 games together in 2 years? Was that what the stat was when Harden got traded?
Yeah.
It was the experiment never even got put in the test tube.
Right. Yeah, and then I don't know. I mean, I said this last week when you're gone, is LeBron, and what have I always said about LeBron and Tom Brady? Are they old or you know, but he still had some pretty good stats, but the wins just weren't there. Does he need to reapproach how he is not so much playing the game, but it's more the off-court stuff? You know, they gave him a lot of control in L.A., and that did not work. So I don't know if the super team's over. I just think the approach is going to change.
Yeah, LeBron, the GM, wasn't bailed out by LeBron, the player.
Right.
As much this time as it has been in the past. And listen, he from all reports, he's the reason Russell Westbrook was in L.A. He wanted Russell. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, a horrible choice. And most people said it at the time. This isn't going to work.
Oh, no. It was – no. And there was talks of – I guess there was deals in – like, you know, he's frustrated during the trade deadline. And, you know, I can't wait for the – I hope there's cameras around, documentary crews and whatever, so we really get an insight later down the line. What happened at the trade deadline? Apparently, there was a hard push for Buddy Hield. There was a – like, almost a deal was done. There's another name. It escapes me. I just heard it yesterday. Why did that not get done? You know, LeBron clearly was frustrated with the lack of movement during the trade deadline. But why wasn't there movement? If there was a deal done and it wasn't the trigger wasn't pulled, why? Was it from LeBron's camp? Was it from Bus? I mean, what happened there?
I mean, it seemed like in the offseason. Before the season ever started, there was the Buddy Hield trade that got nixed because LeBron wanted Russ.
Right.
And the problem for the Lakers at the trade deadline was the only way to remake the team was to get rid of one of those three guys. They didn't want to get rid of LeBron and AD, and nobody wanted Russell's contract. But that's the risk by even bringing him in. Yep. And it's also the risk of making the trade they did. Look who they sent out. They sent out guys that were integral parts of team basketball, not fantasy basketball.
Yeah.
And the problem for the Lakers, as much as everybody around here wants to dog on Russ a little bit, that's fine. He definitely wasn't a solution. But you know what the problem was? Austin Reeves playing 35 minutes a night. They had nobody else. They had those three guys, and that was it. And those three guys consist of decaying Russell Westbrook as far as his game. LeBron's not as good as he was. He's just a little bit older. And Anthony Davis gets hurt all the time. So what the hell did you expect?
Yeah.
You had Russell trying to carry the team when those two guys wouldn't play. And who was around him? It's not 26-year-old Russ that might have been able to do it, at least for short stretches. Hell, he did for a whole season here with nobody around
him. Yeah, his greatest season was that, doing that.
That's right. But that was 6 years ago.
Right.
And so, you know, there's a lot of blame to go around. But LeBron, the GM, deserves most of it.
Agreed.
And LeBron, if you look at his track record, his GM skills haven't ever been really good. But the difference was he was so good that it didn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, he could bail his poor front office decisions out because he was the best player on the planet. That's becoming more apparent to not be the case anymore. And so now, you know, maybe he should let the basketball people do the basketball operations and him just play and fit in. But that's just not his nature.
That's just not him. That's not going to be him. And another point I brought up last week was, you know, he intends to play until he can play with his son, which is, what, 2-3 years from now? At what point does somebody say, we're not willing to take you on? We don't want to draft – you know – we don't want to draft his son because he's going to demand he be on this team or demand a trade. He's going to try to dictate where his son plays. And we don't want LeBron in this organization.
He's going to have to get a lot worse as a player before that happens because he's still pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's still easily a top 10, if not a top 5 player in the league. Easily.
But my point is bringing him on and then he starts to turn into GM LeBron and then you get something like this happen.
No, you just...
You know, you don't want that... I don't know, poison.
You can't let him do it. If you have somebody, but you have to have a strong front office to not do it. Say, listen, we'll bring you in, and hell, even draft Bronny in the second round or whatever. But we're making decisions here, bud, not you. Because and by that time, quite honestly, it'll be easier to tell him that because he's not the superstar player that he has been all these years. I mean, think that's going to be like his 23rd year.
Yeah.
At some point, the dude isn't going to be as good.
Right.
To the point of like role player LeBron. Not, I mean, he's still good enough to kind of be LeBron for now. But that's three whole years away. And Russell Westbrook is almost kind of a cautionary tale toward that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, LeBron wasn't built on athleticism quite the way Russ was. There was more skill there. But he's not so skilled from the shooting standpoint, especially, to where, you know, he's not just somebody else throwing the ball in the corner and make every three. That's not his game. Never has been.
Right.
And so, you know, I think it'll be easier to tell him that. The question is, will he listen? That's the question.
That's the question of the hour, of the day, of the year, of the offseason.
Everybody.
This offseason for L.A.
Oh, it's crazy. I can't even imagine. Over under 1.5 of those guys still there. Think about it. Everybody, be careful out there today. Fire danger. Thinking of Rodney Skinner on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered around.